the what normally is a dragon is Kraken. They're
you mean normally is a dragon? I am.
No, you are an dragon. Abomination right now. You are
cute, thank you.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. They are.
Eat your floor cereal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sometimes it is quite interesting how things can come together to create situations that you just were not expecting. A while back, I was watching my good friend Karuge stream on Twitch. You should totally follow him. He streams nearly every day.
Make sure to keep platforms under him in case he slips.
I'm not gonna slip.
You were saying?
Yep.
Shut up!
I'm not gonna slip.
I almost did.
And he was playing a game called Deep Rock Galactic, which is a cooperative team game where you mine for minerals and kill wave after wave of bugs as a bunch of dwarves. However, instead of dwarves in his game, he had these little lizard folks with fantastically funny voices, which I learned were kobolds. It's a mod available for the game, all of which I'll be linking in the description. It was only a few moments before I had purchased the game and installed the mods. I have never played Deep Rock Galactic without these mods, and we've had many amusing adventures playing Deep Rock Galactic.
Move! Oh my god, what's going on?
Wally, move your fucking ass!
Wally!
Y'all good? Define good.
Yeah, define good.
One day, whilst playing live on Twitch, a user by the name of DragonV0942 comes on and tells us that he's the voice of the Kobold mod. Soon enough, he joined us in-game and it was an absolute blast. I approached him afterwards asking if he would like to have a chat here about the mod. He gladly said yes. Welcome to Behind the Content. This episode, we're talking to Matthew Kelly.
Greetings all viewers, I am Matthew Kelly, not my real name, but I'm also known as DragonV0942, a name that I've gone by for, I think, since I was probably like 9 or so. In fact, you know what? Let's start off with this. Where did the V0942 come from? Well, back in the old days of Half-Life mods, and I mean Half-Life, emphasis on Half-Life, not Half-Life 2, that's how old, I used to play religiously this Half-Life mod called Natural Selection. It's now its own game called Natural Selection 2. It's essentially a first-person shooter, RTS hybrid, essentially a bit of the Counter-Strike team coordination versus Command & Conquer, with your team member commanding and building things and everyone else is the units. Anyway, I was once a part of a team back then. We all had our dates and plans of when we get on together, and we just essentially, we're always Marines and we're all together. And we had to pick our own numbers just to make it look cool and just see if we could memorize it. And it was all chaotic at first, but we were surprised that halfway through it, we were actually memorizing all of our call signs and using it. And I tried a few numbers, but V0942 just seemed to roll off the tongue a little bit better compared to other ones like 34555. And I even tried X042. But everyone kept accidentally pronouncing it F0 because they were F0 fans. It's and it's X0.
So
that's where DragonV0942 came from. It was just me holding on to that memory.
So a very interesting start to your online life, shall we say. So the main reason why I've reached out for you is because of Deep Rock Galactic. I saw my friend Karuge playing it with a kobold mod, and yeah, I really thought it was adorable and funny, and I'd never laughed so much at it, and that actually persuaded me to buy the game and get the mods.
I was surprised when... Oh, shoot, what was his name? He's the... pardon me. His persona on... And persona, whatever phrase you want to say, on Twitch is a black and maroon-chested kobold with a crown. I forget his name. Something Tail, maybe. I've had him appear in my feed. I'm looking through my emails. When I see his icon... There we go. Okay, it doesn't even have Tail in his name. What the fuck was this? Oh, okay. Dazarus.
Okay.
Fun fact, his crown and bling on his horn thing is actually a cosmetic choice. A horn cosmetic choice. So if you're wondering why this one is so unique, where it has a crown on the right horn and bling on the left, it's a reference to him, because he's been promoting it a lot. And he's been emphasizing to me, every time when I pop by, that he's suddenly had a large influx of people that love this kind of game, but literally did hate dwarves, or just couldn't get behind dwarves, literally installing the game because of the Cobalt mod.
Yep. I said, I'm one of them. And then, cut to my surprise, when I'm playing it with Kuruge on stream, and you show up. I was like, yep, can I join?
Because I haven't figured out how to make icons toggleable, because I'm going to be doing all that quality of life stuff after I've done all the lines. It's essentially like a bookmark. Whenever I see a thumbnail stream of someone on Twitch playing Deep Rock Galactic, and I see those icons, I know they're playing my mod, so I get to pop by and thank them personally.
Well, we've got to thank you, because I said it's such a good voice pack, and the player models that were made by, I forget the names, but they're really good as well.
Oh, Face of Evil is his name.
Face
he
of Evil,
made the
that's
mod.
It, yeah. Yeah. And the question I want
credit
to
where
ask...
credit's due, let me just, one second. Credit where credit's due, I should need to go through my special thanks area and thank some people.
Yeah, of course.
So, Zarius Yoshita, for doing the art. Sorry, I butchered your name. For doing the art that's featured on the mod page. The he was really punctual on time and very flexible. Like, when I mentioned that there was a few things that, like, he hasn't played the game before, so I had to provide him some screenshots, showcase what some of these things are. And he even told me, thank you, by the way, for providing me a lot of material here, because usually people have a shortage of this, but you're being really thorough. Like, when I told him that the bug that he had me shooting, the grabber, was like the size of a fly, I was like, those are things that are supposed to be huge. Within seconds, he changed it, and even though it was a bit blurry because he just upsized it, he just drew over it and then fixed it. He was really on time. So I gotta thank you for that. Alright, and I gotta thank TJK3 for assisting me with figuring out how to change the DSP modifiers, so that way there was no deep voices, because deep voices thematically wouldn't fit for the kobolds. So right now, vanilla-wise, Driller has the deepest voice. Then it's Gunner. Then the engineer is pretty much Yavi O'Neill, the voice of the dwarves, regular tone. And then past that, Scout is just higher pitched. But with the new modifications, Driller has normal voice, while everyone else is just higher, to the point that Scout is very squeaky and almost sounds feminine at that point. Speaking of which, I did my best when I was doing the recordings to avoid using specific gender pronouns, because I then realized, hey, even though we're probably not going to get female dwarves, this could be second best for those that are just craving for something that they can call feminine. So since you can't externally figure out the gender of a kobold, at least externally, I figured, hey, this could work. So I leave out the genders. I even poke fun of it at one point when the kobold is inebriated, and one of the drunk slurs is, I love it. I forgot what gender I was. I swapped last time. Fun fact, kobolds can do that. So I can imagine that a cult became so inebriated that they swapped gender and can't remember if that was their original gender or whatnot. And I'm like, stuff it, I'm rolling with it. Now, how do I pronounce this name? Pacagma? I'll just say Pacagma for now, but Pacagma for helping me with fixing the pitching and voice lines for the drop pod, because those had their own DSP modifiers, and I thought that it was like a bullet. Like, the entity was a bullet. Once it hits the ground, it disappears and is replaced with a static version, and I thought that was why the lines that I had recorded previously were getting cut out. But, oh, sorry, cut off. But it turns out they're actually on a timer for some reason. So we just extended it for 30 extra seconds. So now the singing that they do in the drop pod doesn't get cut off. And now I should thank it's Ye Boy Bugma for helping me with the smart stat lines. He does a bit of a writer. He does writing for fanfics and whatnot. And I asked, because I met him randomly, and when he mentioned that he does writing, I then asked, by chance, could you help me with the smart stat lines? And he was more than happy to. I credited him, and now we've got the smart stat lines that you see. Or here in the game, sorry. And of course, we got Sipco Gaming Guild, the guy who did the Tweak the Goblin mission intern, for including references to my mod that you can toggle on in his mod, so he'll refer to you as kobolds instead of dwarves and tell a bunch of kobold-related puns and jokes. And it's just so nice for him to do that. He's a very active guy. The amount of lines that he's churned up above the default that's in the game just because he loves doing it, he's very active and is very, very productive and creative. And lastly, Face of Evil himself for creating the kobold models. He's went above and beyond what I was expecting. He not only created kobold models and tried to match the style of the game, but now he's trying to tackle all the different cosmetics, make them modular. He even told me that that he was doing the bits and pieces in separate forms the same way that they were actually done. I can't remember how he said it. I think it was like something like the upper torso or arms were actually separate and not part of one whole model. Like the dwarves were actually bits and pieces because they're supposed to be modular. So instead of creating different variations, he tried to create it the same way. Kind of like how I decided to render my audios in OGG files formats, because it's the same file format they used. So I guess we both worked the same way there. He adapted and went it the same way. Went about it the same way. But I gotta say, that guy sometimes tends to get a bit too ambitious. Because he was even thinking about changing animations and changing the models of some of the guns. And I said, man, you've only just started. Probably might want to settle down. And apparently, I was kind of right. Because when I got to meet some of his friends, they said that, yeah, he does that a lot. Because at the time of him working on the Cobalt mod, he's also managing two separate Dungeons & Dragons campaigns, and he's the DM. I think he's a bit of a workaholic.
Sounds like it, but Manek.
Yeah, so I hope that he's told me he's been settling that down, but I hope he means that, because I don't want him to push himself over the edge and then have a breakdown. Anyway, those are the people that are currently in the special thanks section of the description of the Dwarf to a Cobalt voice pack, and I had to mention them because it's thanks to them that it's gotten this far.
That's good, and I'd like to thank them as well for making this happen, because it's just brilliant, in my own personal opinion.
Also, at the time of this recording, I'm looking at this right now, last updated 3 days ago, total downloads, 17,160 downloads total. And today's downloads, 119. And total subscribers, 4,454.
So it's quite a few.
Sorry about that. And right now the rating is very positive. 94%. 31 downvotes, 495 upvotes.
496, because I literally just clicked it.
I'm going to press F5. Oh, it hasn't gone through yet. Oh. Pressing F5 again. There it is! There it is!
the question I wanted to ask as well is, what possessed you to do this? What made you go, I'm going to record thousands of lines for a mod for this game?
Okay, a numerous amount of things, but it first just simply started with my love of kobolds, and just the fact that this was set in sort of a in the future, in space, and we're still fantasy creatures. I mean, we're dwarves, and they reference other creatures, so they're around. We have elves, we have goblins, trollops, mug golems. Yeah, you leafy son of a mug golem! We're on the same team! You know, all those remarks that reference other things. So, and I wouldn't say it's D&D, because it's clear that they're going with their own route with things. There's like, one could say that dwarves are supposed to have dark vision, but some people say that these dwarves do have dark vision, otherwise it would be just pitch black. But even with no light source, you can kind of see in the caves of Hoxus. But the flares and all that do help. I don't know. I don't know how that stuff works. But with my mod, I kind of reference the fact, I try to hint that these kobolds have weak or no dark vision, and it's one of the many reasons why they couldn't get a proper job in mining. The one thing that kobolds love and live to do. But due to them not meeting the basic requirements, they couldn't get a job. So I referenced that some of their part-time hobbies was skating and everything. Like they were just rascals, little troublemakers. But a fun headcanon of what I think is the reason why the kobolds are now here now is because some words about how the higher-ups of DRG have been treating their workforce, like putting them low priority versus the actual goods they bring back. I mean, have you noticed that how they don't send the drop pod down early? They make sure that they've got the goods before they send it down, and that yes. You have to pay them Nitra. But it's not Nitra that gets teleported up to them. You're just confirming that you have it. And since the gates don't even open up in the drop pod until the molly with all the stuff is in, again, they prioritize their goods over their own workforce's lives. And so, the fun headcanon that I thought would be pretty cool is that some of this was starting to surface and get to the surface. I am really bad at talking. And back at home, they were starting to hear about it. So they do a publicity stunt to show that they've got their workforce they have a good heart and whatnot, because look, we're hiring these kobolds that are, by other kobolds' standards, are handicapped. So they couldn't get a job in mining, and they want a job. We're going to accept them because we're not greedy kobolds. You know, that kind of thing. So These kobolds, when they find out that they're very corrupt and whatnot, they don't give a crap because they are finally mining, and they have discovered that they have a taste for destruction. So when they're given these guns, and then these bugs show up, and they just let loose like maniacs, they realize, this is the best f***ing job ever! They're not, and management knows by the way they've been acting, they're not gonna tell anyone about how poorly treated they are. They don't care even if they die because of these guys. They're having so much of a blast that it's worth it to them. That's what I wanted to emphasize when I was doing these lines. They're just so happy to be doing this. Because one of the things that was emphasized in this one video that was single-handedly the last thing I needed to convince me to go all out with this, it was a video called What They Don't Tell You About Kobolds. How it emphasizes that mining is literally their lives, and they love it. So I had to emphasize that. I had to show that these kobolds really love their job, really love what they've discovered, and just can't stop cackling and laughing and just having a good time. Even though there were rare moments where their composure is dropped, like a bulk detonator to to the caretaker boss fight. Those are the rare moments where their happy-go-lucky attitude actually drops and they actually are scared. But past that point, past that point though, they feel like they're invincible. And since reincarnation is a thing for them, they don't care if they die. they've already gone out in a blaze of glory.
there's definitely a lot of that you've brought through with the voice lines, because you're talking about how they love destruction. I play Gunner a lot, and it's just like, well, I get to fire this. But you know, there's a lot of personality and general sort of happy, joyous energy from all the kobolds.
And I can understand that can be a bit too much for some people, but that's when you make the... But now you have the choice. The jaded, tough dwarves or the chaotic gremlin kobolds that cackle and laugh and even sing in the pod. I didn't know... I was just going to do the standard thing that was in the drop pod lines. Just do my own version of... But have them a little bit more positive instead of one negative and one... Yeah. But then I realized... how can I take this further? How can I make someone who is loving this particular personality of these kobolds to really love them even more about how they are in this together, that they love their job, and they don't, to the point that they don't care that if they were to break out into song, and even if they can't sing, they don't care. And then when I said that in my own mind, I realized, shit, I can't think of anything better than to sing, and I hate singing, so I gave it a try. And I was essentially singing with myself, too, because I then listened to my own recording, sing along with it, a little bit out of key. I specifically always have one kobold start, then a second or third one joins in, and then the fourth one. And then they laugh, and maybe they do a little bit of quick banter, like when they sang the parody of Baby Don't Hurt Me, and said it's Baby Don't Pat Me. One says to the other, someone pat you, didn't they? Oh, shut up!
I've not heard that one.
yeah, it's what is called? Baby, don't pat me. Don't pat me no more. Someone pat you, didn't they? Oh, shut up!
Oh, I've definitely not heard that one. Oh, man. Because that's one of the joys I found with this particular mod is because of the literal thousands of lines you've recorded, I'm still hearing new bits now and again, and the energy you bring is so infectious. And that's one thing I've noticed with people playing this, is that they love that infectious, chaotic energy.
And I'll never be able to top the dwarves, but I can do my own spin and just try to make it sound believable that these guys can be a part of the team. I mean, they're both miners. They both love mining. Well, kobolds love mining. Dwarves are good at mining. Not as good as kobolds because of their hive-like nature and numbers and whatnot. They're a astounding workforce. It's just that dwarves, they're stubborn at their job. When they commit to mining, they do their damnedest in it. They'll never be as good as a kobold, but in terms of them being strong and swinging a pickaxe, they're like a... It's like aliens versus the predators. The aliens are in numbers, swarms, and mobility, and are hive-like mind. Meanwhile, the predators are more elite, singular, one-man army kind of things. So that's basically the comparison between the kobolds and the dwarves. Kobolds are more frail, but they're in numbers, they're fully committed, and their lives are all about mining. The dwarves, their lives aren't necessarily about mining, but they can commit to it stubbornly with an iron fist, like this every muscle in their fist. Like, they could punch a rock if their pickaxe broke, because they need to get that gold chunk, and they could probably do that. A kobold wouldn't do that, though, but the millions of other different kobolds could probably go get it, or they'll just go back and get, be very efficient, get a new pickaxe. A dwarf can smash their head through a brick wall. A kobold could pull out the one rock that makes the whole brick wall fall. You know, they have to think intelligently. This is why they're really good at setting traps. In D&D lore, because they're supposed to be, since they're very physically frail, they have to make up for that with other different skills to survive. The dwarves, though, they have many different options, and most of them, they love using their fists to do the talking. Again, that's why I will never be able to top Javier O'Neill's take on the dwarves, because it's iconic. The rock and stone quote is so iconic. I even have the kobolds acknowledge that by sometimes saying rock and stone. Come on, you got to admit it's kind of catchy.
Yes, I've caught them saying that a couple of times. So right now, Deep Rock Galactica is on its fourth season now. And you said to me earlier that you're only roughly halfway through redoing the lines for season 3.
Yes. In fact, I'm going to go into the folder right now, and I'll tell you exactly how many lines are left for me to do. Here we go. Dwarf speak, September 2022. It's funny, out of all the folders, because when you open that, it usually shows all the lines. But this one folder is the only one that for some reason has a folder in it after that, before it leads to the actual lines, and it's just called done. That's because there was a crap ton of lines in here. In fact, hold on. So right now there are currently 304 lines left for me to do, and I'm done with season three. Then I'm on to season four, which thankfully only has 320. So they didn't add too many. They just, it seems like they added a crap ton of lines for the arcade. Some of the new bugs, mostly the Jetty hacking game, and then the jet boots themselves, and then some calling resupply pods. Let's see, ping lines for them. Oh, and they did a few quality of life ones. Like, for example, there was just this one line that usually, whoever's got the last canister, get a move on. That can play even when you put in the second one. So now they've made it so that that one will only play if you're the first to put it in. Now they've got a version where of these lines where it's the last canister. Yeah, here we go. Second fuel drill canister, yeah, placed. And second fuel canister, done. So that's the only other different change they've done. So if you play the Escort Duty, you might hear a dwarf voice here and there. Those are the new ones they just added. Now, let's see. I'm going to go into the copy of the files I've got. I use this to check to see what they've added. Okay, characters, voice, dwarves. Okay, real quick though. Mission Control. And I'm going to search OGG files. Mission Control currently has 959 lines.
Okay, yep.
Meanwhile, the dwarves, as of this update, have 4,426 lines.
Oh my god.
Yavi O'Neill gets paid handsomely, I'm sure of it. All right, here we go. Oh, there wasn't that many. Okay, so there was only 441 lines added with Season 3. So, the one before that... Oh, they added 567. There's a few other different updates here, but yeah, there's a lot of different folders. They're usually marked with Speak or Dwarf, then the month and then the year of when they were added. So they're all just compiled together. The baselines, they're actually put in and organized. Like, for example, Bosco, Dwarf Selection, Kill an Enemy, Laser Point, Mini Boss, Glyphid Dreadnought, Misc, Molly, Reactor Damage, Resupply, Small Talk, Space Rig. But then past that, when they were adding more lines, they just compiled them all in together into one folder and just named it the date and year. And it seems like it's more organized that way and much more easier for me to follow. There was one update during... Actually, it was in Season 3. When they added those lines, they added some base lines that for some reason were spread out in different seasons and even in base. Because when I was pinging a Morkite well, I could not find it in the folder. That's because it was in Laser Point. And then I dubbed all of the Cursite Grinder here lines, and then I heard a few that were Dwarf. I double-checked and I did all of them. And then I checked Laser Point. They're in here now! So now I gotta, whenever they push out these line updates, I gotta check the others and make sure that someone who organizes these didn't just decide to put these over here instead of in the one big folder. Oh, and in fact, I gotta tell you, the guys who sort these sometimes sort them the wrong way. Like, they fix the problem the wrong way. There's these two lines when ordering drinks. I did all of these Malt Rock Bearer and Tunnel Rat lines, and then when I ordered a Tunnel Rat, I heard Malt Rock Bearer. And then when I went to check, I did all of the lines. Nothing was missed, but it was me saying Malt Rock Bearer. I listened to all the lines. I dubbed them as appropriate. Then I went, wait a second. I listened to the original. One of the Malt Rock Bearer lines... wait, hang on. No. Yeah. One of the Malt Rock Bearer lines, it's labeled that, but the actor is saying Tunnel Rats. So they mixed it up there. They messed it up. But instead of renaming it, the guy just assigned it to where it was supposed to go.
Oh, what?
So instead of going, oh, he's saying the wrong thing. I'm not going to change the name here. I'm just going to tell it go here. We know where it's supposed to go. Yeah, well, when I have to change the files, it's a little bit of a f***y. But thankfully, those are one of the rare instances where it doesn't make much sense. For example, one of the drop pod lines, does the pod always make that sound? I think it ended up being named as ordering new beer. It was one of the new ordering new beer lines. It was like, only DRG would get me into collecting plants for brew. But instead, one of the other lines is, does the pod always make that sound? And I'm wondering if that was meant to be, does the pot always make that sound or something like that? I don't know. So when I dubbed it, I just said, does it always make that sound? Because I wasn't sure if it would end up actually getting used. You can tell my voice is breaking because I laughed my butt off listening to Google Translated Dwarves. But anyway, I was worried that that was actually indeed being also used because this game recycles a lot of lines. So sometimes when I've done a line, but done my own spin on it, it then doesn't work for when it's getting recycled in other lines. So now I've made it a habit to not go completely nuts. I'll try to keep it similar to what I'm saying so that if it gets recycled, it still makes kind of sense. I still need to do that. But the main biggest offender was when... it was when they... did the drop pod lines. If you press X while waiting in the drop pod, it's like, come on guys, we're leaving. But since some of them refer to we're going down to Hoxsus, I just did all the lines about Hoxsus is not going to wait around forever. Oh wait, it will. You know, stuff like that. And then they made it so that now that when you're in the drop pod on a mission and press X, it uses some of those lines. Not all of them, but some of them that don't refer to going down to Hoxsus. I was like, shit, all of my lines refer to going down to Hoxsus, so I gotta redub these. So, just to make it more future-proof when the devs are doing this, I try to stick close to what the original line was saying. It means less creative freedom, but it means the line's more secure and less likely to be derailed due to it being recycled for other things. For example, I dubbed all of the zip lines and platform lines, and then when I shot out a platform, I heard zip line ready. And I double-checked and I found out, oh, they recycled the zip line four line where he says access provided. Because when you shoot a zip line from the gunner, he does say access provided, but so does the engineer. So, yeah. Not only do they have a lot of lines, they recycle and reuse them.
How you manage to keep on top of all this is insane.
I know. But I guess it also helps that I played this a lot, so I almost know a lot of them by memory and heart.
How many hours have you put into the game?
Let's have a look, actually. I have put... Where are you? I know I played you recently. Oh. I've got S in the search because I was looking for a source filmmaker. There we go. I have got 1,274.9 hours.
Wow. Yep. I have a measly 43 myself. I need to play it more.
Oh, and I love how a lot of people first ask, why aren't they adding any more achievements? And then later on, when they get their answer, like, oh yeah, they all agree with why. The reason why is when the dev said, we are, quote, happy with the amount of achievements we've got and don't feel the need to add more. We will say no more. They've got a total of 69 achievements.
Oh, nice.
I believe the last achievement that automatically unlocks is when you've done all the other achievements, and I think it says nice. That could be a rumor, though. I haven't seen it, because hidden achievements are hidden. They don't show until you've gotten them.
I wonder if the little workaround still exists, because you can on Steam. If you look at your achievements page for the specific game, you used to be able to click Global Achievements, and they've got rid of it. If you clicked Global Achievements, it used to show the hidden ones.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and it says that I've got four hidden achievements left. And one, two, three, four. I've got four other achievements that I can see. I haven't done Roller Coaster yet. I haven't done Carl Would Be Proud. And I haven't done If Only I Got Paid for This. Oh, and the very rarely done Carpool. Have your entire team on top of a harvester and kill 5 enemies without leaving.
What? Okay.
That is very hard to do because you bounce around with your own teammates if you try to jump on. The harvester can go on any surface, so it's easy to fall off. And after all that, you need to all kill at least 5 enemies to get it. And it's very easy at that point to accidentally kill the harvester. So yeah, that's the rarest achievement to get.
You said roller coaster. Is that let me guess? Is that being on the pipes during the
Here we go. Yeah. Roller coaster. Grind on a pipe rail for 120 seconds without stopping.
Wow, 2 minutes without stopping. Okay.
You want to know what one of my first achievements were, aside from the one that just says that you've done the tutorial?
Oh, go on.
The first achievement I got was I Like It Down Here. Spend over an hour in a single mission. I actually said out loud when I saw that, I said, it's true. I actually do like it down here. Like, I was so fascinated with the terrain stuff, the procedurally, the generated environment, how destructible it was, and it still looked naturalistic and fit right into the theme of the low-poly style. It's not just low-poly, but it's also sharp edges. Like, if you've ever been in Blender, you can usually turn on and off smoothening, where it tries to make the surface look a little bit more smoother instead of showing the sharp edges of every single polygon. Instead, they turned that off and made that part of the style. And I like that. And a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I really
especially
do
noticeable when you look at some of the furniture and just from something as simple as like a can of soda and some Chinese takeaway that literally sits on one of the desks.
So do you yourself play as the kobolds when you're playing the game?
All the time.
So because I know some voices and actors out there don't like hearing their own voice again. They prefer it sort of be sent off into the ether and never hear it again. So you actually play and you hear yourself and yourself and yourself and yourself.
I'm quite used to it at this point. It mainly comes from my previous voice work, which I won't get into too deep detail. Darn it. Really f***ed that one up. Okay. But also, I feel quite proud of my performance of this one, because I was in full control. And whenever there's something I'm not proud with, I go and fix it. I have full control. And versus, say, a script I was told to do, I question if I did it right. But since I'm my own director, I know when I feel I've done it right. And whenever someone makes me feel otherwise, or if it's a unit, like the length of some lines, I'm going to fix it. Because I'd agree with them at that point. Though I like how I've done the drunk slur lines way too long. I didn't know that if another one kicks in, it wouldn't stop the other one or wait until it's done. It's just on a timer, a random timer, and they can overlap. But I'm definitely going to fix that. But I like how a lot of people were also telling me, no, don't fix that. That adds to the chaos.
Yes.
So whenever I do fix it, I'll fix it, but I'm going to hold on to the old lines. And when I figure out how to do this mod hub thing, I'll have it as a toggleable option. Unlock old drunk slur lines. Warning, may, no. Definitely will cause overlap.
So what are your plans then for, other than completing all the rest of the season, well, season 3 and then season 4? Have you got any other things you're wanting to add to the Kobold mod?
Well, I've listed most of them on the to-do list that's on the mod page. So, I'll read them as follows. Voice pitch modifier, done. Kobold class icons, done. Voice all dwarf lines, not yet done. Find a potential modeler for the in-game models. Done. Refine / redub existing lines. Not done yet, because I got to do all the lines first. Modify subtitles to reflect lines. Not yet done. Make Cobalt class icons optional. Not yet done. Make a toggle option for the DSP modifiers. Not yet done. Make an alternate / abridged version of some lines, such as the overly long drunk lines. Not yet done. And dub over Nemesis lines. Not yet done. I actually had a go at that, but I feel like a noob when it comes to audio engineering again, because I was wondering how in the living did they actually do these sounds? It's like, it sounds easy to do, but then when you get to actually trying to replicate the sound effect of some sort of synth robot or something like the Geth from Mass Effect, I'm wondering how the hell did they achieve that particular sound? And it seems a lot of audio engineers can easily figure this out, but I don't. I get all these other ones. I keep swiping up and down or left and right these little knobs that change it, and I'm never getting the result I'm after. And I want to nail it. I want to make it sound very close to the actual Nemesis, but it's saying it's mimicking the kobolds or referring to the kobolds. So until I figure that out, the Nemesis currently remains undubbed, even though it was added in season 2.
So quite a bit then, just to say.
Yeah.
So again, you've done. Wait, hold on.
So back to the question of what else am I going to do after that? Well, after watching Sirvan's streams, especially when he just did the whole, which is the reason why my chest is sore right now, the Google translated dwarves. He was also running the Shout framework. I keep getting told about this thing, but I didn't even bother looking to realize that not only is it another and more easier way to do a mission control where that you can change the subtitles and even the color of your frame, but the way how the framework is set, you can have multiple mission control mods and they will randomly change in and sometimes overlap over each other. Not overlap as in like they speak at the same time, but speak after the other, but doing the same line. And when you have like, it's to the point that instead of just mission control, this and that, we're thinking of just calling them mission control personalities. Because there's a gremlin / kobold / goblin guy. Literally, that's what the description refers to it as. And then there is passive-aggressive mission control. And then there's Sirvan now. And he ran all three of them. So it was like you have an actual mission control, and it's not just one person managing this team and probably who knows how many other different teams out on Hoxus. But whenever he's busy with another team that he's coordinating, someone else steps in and does the line.
So
when we heard Sirvan go, "All right, Drilldozer's homing in," and we know that it kind of does this thing where it calls other bugs, so get ready. And then passive-aggressive mission control chimes in after that and says, "And there it goes. And by the way, Doretta is not your f***ing Uber service, so don't ride it the whole way there or you're just going to stall it." And then when it stops, "You rode on the Drilldozer, didn't you? I wonder why it stalled so early with this much fuel and made it this far. Go refuel the f***ing thing." And then a gremlin guy pops in and goes, "Yep, that's no more fuel. We got these little things in the back. You just take them out and just laser point things. You know how this works." It's like it's an actual team of other different personalities chiming in. It's good variety. So because of that, I got this idea because once I thought, after I'm done with the kobold stuff, I was thinking of doing a dragon mission control. I was thinking of just another kobold, but I'd sound the same. I think I'd let someone else with a different voice do that. But then, I thought I'd do Matthew Kelly, my dragon Sona, as a mission control. He's very chill, laid back, has full confidence in you, and has your back. Then I thought, because of how this framework works, maybe I will do a kobold. So I'll have one be very chaotic, and one being chilled and laid back. And because of how the thing works, you can effectively have both of them at once. And then mix it with all of these other ones, so you've got so many different personalities, so many new potential lines, so many different jokes and tones and attitudes.
That would be awesome.
And because of how many lines there are for Mission Control versus the dwarves, it seems like child's play compared to the other. It hasn't even reached over 1,000 lines yet.
That sounds just like pure chaos to me, and I want to fully embrace it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. One of the things that I was going to ask is, when you're recording the lines, and is there any particular sort of warmth you do, or do you just throw yourself straight into it? Because there's a lot of energy with the kobolds. Do you have a little warm-up routine, or do you just throw yourself in full beans into doing the kobold?
It's less of a warm-up. I probably should do that, but it's more of like, I'm in the mood right now. I've got the energy, my throat's feeling good, and maybe I've just had something good, like maybe I've had my lemon ginger honey tea, because that really helps me when it comes to the shouty lines. Any lines that really are strenuous on the throat. In fact, one moment, I'm taking a drink of water.
Hydration be good, yeah.
Yep. I'm addicted to ice cold water. Not just cold water, ice cold water. Because when you have cold water and a bottle filled to the brim with ice, there's something about that flavor when you taste that water just as it slid past the ice. Like, have you ever had that moment where you had a bottle that was half frozen and you've finished all the water and all that's left is the ice? And you just keep shaking to try to get it. And then when that one drop of water slides right past the ice and lands on your tongue, there's something different about it. Now when you actually have a bottle full of ice and water and you drink it, I guarantee you, you're going to not want to have water any other way.
Yeah, but I can completely believe that. I do like ice cold water myself, because it is so nice, especially on a really hot day as well. I know of your other works, shall we say, through just happenstance, and you do get quite a lot of work through that as well. You get a lot of work through the furry fandom, shall we just say.
Yeah, in fact, if you want, I'll tell you how I eventually got there. First, yep. Though, I started... when did I start doing voice acting in general? I think I was around 10 to 11 when I got this decently good headset with a little puff microphone. So that's how I did voice acting back then. And most amateur animators always started their animations doing an adaptation of a book called Warrior Cats. And back then there were endless amounts of different casting calls for characters from the book. And I can't remember half of the cats that I always got the role of, but then there was this one, then there was this series called Vindicated, where these different wolves, and there was this character named after and designed after Miroku from Inuyasha. He was officially my very first character I ever voiced for. In fact, while I'm talking about this, I'll go get an image of him for you.
Okay.
And I discovered my love for voice acting back then, and I got inspired out of all things. I got further inspired to continue voice acting, and I originally went in trying to do dramatic acting, like sound intimidating or cool. And because I had just watched the English dub version of Death Note, because my big brother, who was hugely into anime, just got that series, and I watched it. And I also was wondering why I really loved the English dub voice actor of Light Yagami and why I found him familiar. It was because I have cousins who are hugely into Zoids, and they get a bunch of figurines. And sometimes when I visit them, they give me one of their figurines. Like, it was weird. They had this one that they've had for maybe over months or a year, and they just give it to me because they want to get a new or another version of it, just so they have an excuse to build it. That's how they were like. So I ended up with a few Zoids. And then when they gave me this this DVD that they borrowed from the library, which is literally English dub of the anime Zoids Fusors, the English actor of the main character RD is the same English voice actor who dubbed Light Yagami in Death Note. So it was then when I remembered that, it was weird for me to realize that this guy going, "With this notebook, I shall change the world," to be the same guy that I remember hearing, "Man, this bite's bedtime!" And that was the thing. RD, whenever he was ticked off, always it seemed like his catchphrase was always, "This bites." And here you go. I'm sending you an image of Miroku. That was the first character I've ever voiced. And yes, that is MS Paint art. That was one unique thing about that animated series. It was all MS Paint, and back then it was Blue Kaiokitty. Now it's known as Miroku on DeviantArt. Is a master of MS Paint. In fact, let me just show you my personal favorite. Again, this is entirely MS Paint, no Photoshop. This is how good they are with making art with MS Paint.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could never feel free to have them pop up on. Yeah, feel free to have them pop up on the video, and here is the original link so you can get the artist name if you ever want to credit them properly.
Yes, I'll credit in the description.
Mm-hmm.
As I'll be linking all the mods mentioned in the description as well. Might as well say that, as we are being a good host. Yes, all the mods we have talked about, including the Cobalt mod, the Cobalt player mods, and the Tweak mod as well, will all be listed in the description via mod.io.
Sweet.
Not sponsored.
All right, continuing on with the answer of where did I start? So that was where I started. And some of the other, I think the other character that I especially had fun voicing for, because this was a chance for me to be a bit of cool, intimidating, and also to be a bit of a brat, a bit of an antagonist, was the character Rock from the now-canceled Cal of the Wild series, which I think went on for over 20 episodes. It went on for a long time. And he only made two appearances, and I was shocked at the amount of fan art that came of him. A lot of people did a lot of fan art of him. In fact, here is some. I will also give link so that way you can credit them as they show up. And these are some of my favorites. This one I'm about to share is based off of a pose from when he introduces himself and says, "I'm an alpha, thank you very much." Which, by the way, that was an ad lib. The line was originally, "I'm an alpha," and I just said it that way. And so Triple of Doom changed the scene and his pose to reflect that and just do that pose. And that became iconic for him then. And so because of these little additions I did, I put a lot of personality into him that more than she expected. And a lot of viewers really had a crush on this guy. And it was bizarre. He only had two appearances at this point versus a lot of other characters that got a lot of attention and time and fan out of their own. And then this guy comes out of nowhere and he was immediately entrancing a lot of people. Even this person who did a recap of all the series even admitted how adorable he was. But then it dawned on me, why am I getting a lot of womanizing characters? First Miroku, then Rock, and then these other characters that would soon follow. Let's see, do I remember most of them? The answer is no, but a lot of these videos and series that I voiced in don't even exist on YouTube anymore. And it's not like this video has been removed that was previously titled. No, it just disappears. It's wiped from the records. Nothing will be remembered. Which is sad.
Yeah.
People say that Here's the thing: when streaming on YouTube, it stays. Not really. Once it's removed, it's removed. Same as Twitch. But I get what they're going at here. But the thing is, it doesn't really stay. It only stays as long as it stays. But once it's gone, it's gone. And no one will know of it. It is effectively stripped from the records. Meanwhile, places like E621, even though when something's deleted, it still can be accessed as an archive. And the devs behind... Sorry, the... wait, what do you call them? Devs? Hosts? Admins? Well, I'll just say admins. The admins and janitors and moderators of the site know how to access these. In fact, they even told me how to access them, but I don't remember. But, yeah... it allows you to actually keep track of some things. So when someone makes up a story of try to start drama about something that happened, they can literally look through all these things. Meanwhile, with stuff like this, where I just want to look back on some good old memories, if they're gone, they're gone.
Which is a real shame, because people say, oh, when it's on the internet, it's there forever. When in reality, it's like, yeah, some things are, but you know, things like, as you were saying, just aren't.
Okay, here we go. I managed to find my old playlist, and thankfully a lot of stuff was there. Now, apparently because of a lot of stuff that was removed or doesn't exist anymore, apparently the first video I ever voiced one was called Total Brawl Island, which was a parody of Total Drama Island, and I just voiced Yoshi. That's it. It wasn't even really good. It only went on for 2 episodes and just stopped. Then there was... This is the first thing I voiced that actually had a conclusion. It was by Devious Dog, or... also goes by the name of Shelby. And I believe she was Estonian. I haven't seen her in a long time, and it would be nice to reunite with her and say hello. But she made this thing called The Paradise for Dogs. And it's essentially all these dogs that hear this tale of a paradise for dogs. But it has a bit of a bittersweet ending, because all the characters end up dying. But the conclusion was The Paradise for Dogs is literally heaven. They died in their adventure, and then they're all in heaven. So I guess it's a kind of a spin off all those other things. Here's the thing that I noticed. I know that a lot of people from this day and age are people that read Warrior Cats and something like that, because you get all these bittersweet or very violent animations, but I know it's because these are people who have read books like The Warrior Cats, which is... It is very detailed with how it describes how a cat got sliced open. That kind of stuff. So when I look at all this stuff, it's funny how it seems like we've evolved to be more sensitive these days. Well, back then we were quite unhinged. But I do miss some of those days. As much as I shy away from certain types of over-the-top violence just for the sake of over-the-top violence, I do admit these particular ones, when they're done right, it sets the stakes. I even said that Cow of the Wild was kind of like Game of Thrones before I know the book existed first, but Game of Thrones before the series Game of Thrones, because there were a lot of important characters in there that got a lot of screen time, a lot of lines, and their own fans, and some could be abruptly killed off. And there was no holding back in that series. I mean, even poor little puppies get killed, very gruesomely, and not off camera either. Those are the kinds of animations that I voiced back then. So there was Cow of the Wild, there was Vindicated, there was Paradise for Dogs. Now moving up, I've done a few dubs like this one's still up, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I thought that would be taken down due to copyright, but yeah. It's still up there. And I think that was a Don Bluth movie?
It was a Don Bluth movie, that's right.
Yeah. And then there's Venom Abyss. Okay, my first Sims 2 Machinima series I ever voiced for. I voiced Koran. And it was a vampire series. And it was surprisingly done well. At that time, Sims 3 was around, but the person, Miss Raspberry, who did the series, specifically went with Sims 2 because she didn't like how the third ones animated and looked. They were way too cartoonish compared to the Sims 2 one. And plus, there were plenty of mods and things that allowed... I also liked how she pointed out that the character I voiced, Koran, for some strange reason, because of how broken the AI can be because it's been hacked and under full control, for some strange reason it does its own thing. Koran will randomly just cry and sob. None of his modes or anything have changed. It just decides to say, oh yeah, sob now. Okay. So it just bursts out into crying for no reason. It was funny, though. Back then, I believe the voice I did for him was literally just this. That's it. That's all it was. So I was voicing apparently the gruffiest, deepest voice guy there, but I was the highest pitched normal guy through the whole team when we all got together to do the little commentary, which actually became a thing. And then there is Randomness Productions, just some Gmod stuff. A few little shorts from amateur animation, like Blue Fang, some funny Spyro comic dubs, a Spore series, more Gary's Mod stuff, some more dubs. I dubbed some cutscenes of Spyro and Cinder. I voiced Spyro. I can't remember who voiced Cinder back then. There was more Venom Abyss. Oh yeah, some quick little machinimas with what was at the time then called Impressive Title, which was that open world social game where you're all feral lions. You get to customize your character, go around, and literally it was just a joke title, Impressive Title, but it blew up. It became huge. A lot of people were joining in, socializing, doing little dances, hunting wildlife, and just chatting around. And then there is, okay, here we go, some more Warrior Cats. I even apparently voiced in, at the time then, was probably the most well-animated adaptation of it, Triple S Warrior Cats fan animation. There's more Blue Fang. Then there's Carol the Wild. So this was 12 years ago. That was when Rock showed up. Some more Warrior Cats parodies. Respect Your Elders, which was just some funny little shorts. I voice this character that says that you respect your elders, but then he just starts shouting out, "Hey, One Eye, nice One Eye. Hey, Half Tail, nice Half Tail." Because it's basically being self-aware of, yeah, we say respect the elders, but listen to their names, their titles. A Dead Space Machinima I dubbed. Penumbra Eclipse announcements. It was supposed to be a fan sequel to Penumbra Overture, but didn't end up coming to fruition. This was supposed to be a series, but it only had one video. But I did a comic dub of House Pets as King. Good series, by the way. It's House Pets, one word with an exclamation mark at the end. It's a very famous comic series. And then I dubbed a fan-made manga trailer for Codebreaker. Game of Hide and Seek. It was a little pony dub. I was
Sombra, but he was a little bit posh and relaxed instead of evil.
Then there was a few more Gmod stuff. I'm just scrolling up the list here. More Gmod stuff. More Brony stuff. GTA? Yeah, it's just, at this point, it's just source for mega stuff and Brony stuff. More Brony stuff. Holy crap, a lot of Brony stuff. And then Source Filmmaker stuff with Movie Modown, The Big City, Blue Spy. Then some parodies. And then there was some Gmod Trouble in Terrorist Town. Yeah, Terrorist Town. I thought it was Tourist Town, but I was messing it up. Then I was... I started joining forces with this group of reviewers called the Stupid Series. And so I made 4 appearances in the Stupid Series. One was the Stupid Series Creepypasta reviews, Sonic.exe. Then there was the trailer for their review of hentai manga and animes and novels. It's literally it says triple and then there's 3 H's, so it's triple H anti reviews prologue, and then the stupid anime review commentary. Oh, and here we go. And then I had a lot of fun with this one because I this was the first time I voiced multiple characters. Would be my friend Fredbear, which was a FNAF fan made Gmod animation by Witchy Gmod. fun fact about this one. This was Richie Gmod's first time working with voice actors. And I like how when I was doing the lines for Foxy, I voiced several characters. I voiced plush version of Freddy. So I was just using this voice for him. And then someone else voices the nightmare version of him when he transforms. I voiced Bonnie. I voiced... oh, yeah. And I voiced Foxy. And when I was doing the maniac laugh for Foxy, I actually scared Witchy. He actually was silent for a while, and I was asking, "You there?" He said, "I'll be honest, I was not expecting that. Are you okay?" Like, I could tell he's not used to working with voice actors. it unfortunately got canceled, but it's still worth seeing if you're at all into FNAF animations. This one has some pretty cool fight scenes, good editing, and bear in mind, Witchy Gmod first started out by just doing still images, not just actually still image, but still frame poses, and just had the camera slightly pan, and just relied mostly on sound effects to emphasize what's happening. And then when he started doing more animations, he really stepped up, and he was on such a roll that he wanted to tackle doing voice acting. So as the series goes on, less and less voices were happening, and started defaulting back to one note sound effects, like say in the Zelda series where they just do an audible sound like, huh, and then you see the text show up. So it was slowly reverting back to that as less and less actors could make it, and he was just reverting back to the old thing. But still, I was there from start to finish, and it's still good. And I like some of the fourth wall breaks, like how the map that he uses has doors with no door handles, just textures. So there's the sound effect of the door being jiggled like it's about to be open. Tense music is building up as Foxy is about to open it. And then it just cuts the other side with no music. It's just him grasping nothing. Cursed map designers. Like, this fourth wall breaks like that. In fact, I also did a few ad-libs that he liked. Like, for example, when he's trying to reach for the little girl that's trying to get away from him, he can't move. And then he was supposed to say, I was supposed to say nothing, and then he just like tosses the bed instead. But instead I said, wait, hang on. And then, he reanimated that part where instead of him just going, okay, fuck this, and just tosses the bed aside, he goes, oh, hang on. And he was like, right, I can just do this. Lots of little humor like that, and especially when oh shit, I forgot his name, but he's literally the Dr. Breen model, but he's completely red. He's a demon,
and the guy who owns him just literally does this voice.
It's stupid. It's not meant to be taken seriously, and he's the most comedic, like over the top character. In fact, one of his lines where he just says, "No, I haven't," and he just randomly says, "You shit." It was just him just being himself, and Witchy Gmod decided, "You know, stuff it. I'll leave that in." And he did that to me. There was this part where I knocked the mic and I said, "Fuck!" And so when my character says, "Hey, fuck, hey," I was like, "Why did you include that?" I said, "Well, I did the same for Redman. Why can't I do it to you?" But I like how at halfway through it, he's literally just got both of his nose fingers in his noses, and his daughter says, "Why won't you help me then?" "I'm busy being comedic relief character." Oh, God, it's good to revisit these memories. Sorry if I'm going on for too long. I'm just literally going through where I started and where I got to where I was.
What would you say has been your most popular thing that you've done?
Outside of what I do these days? Let me have a look. And aside from the Cobalt mod, of course.
Of course.
I would have to say it's definitely my voice acting for mic set on a few things, but if no mic set, I'd say definitely Rock from Cow of the Wild, because there was a point where everyone came back together and did a commentary, and I was also reminded of one thing that actually made me a little bit nervous. I forgot a vast majority of fans were women and girls. It was nuts. Because when it comes to what I normally voice these days, the lewd stuff, it's usually males that I end up meeting. But when I came back to this after being you know, stuck in that whole loop for the whole time. And back to this, I was like, Jesus, I forgot. A vast majority of people I met those days were all girls. And it was male actors that were hard to come across, which is why that a lot of people asked for me to audition back then. Which is why at the time when YouTube allowed you to give yourself a title, I said, yeah, I titled myself Young Male Voice Actor. And after I did that, I was getting a lot of requests for auditioning for stuff. Not so much now these days. It feels like kind of the opposite, but still, it was nuts how when I returned back there, I was reminded of what the vast majority of the fan base was consisting of women. Now, past the my friend Fredbear and more VR chat stuff, let me skip forward. Then there was a podcast by Wolfie British Guy, and then there was the return of episode 26 of Cow of the Wild. So 26 was the last episode, I believe, and then it just stopped. That's how long the series had been going on for, 26 episodes, and this was 3 years ago. And then there was more VR chat stuff, some Sea of Thieves, and then I voiced Kobold in Trouble in Terrace Town mod called, and then here we are with the Kobold mod. But at one point, all right, I'm going to say this right now. I'm not going to get into much detail, but I'm going to try and see if I can talk about where I ended up next. Now, if this doesn't work out, feel free to cut out or even skip over this whole segment, okay?
Okay, yeah.
All right. So at some point, when I was a big fan of Amnesia the Dark Descent, I figured out how to replace sound files. So I was practicing my own voice acting for a video game because I wanted to do that. And I voiced everything from the dialogue to the sound effects when your character is breathing, panicking. And back then, when people could actually private message you, because that used to be a system back then where you could send messages to other YouTubers, like say a Gmail stuff or Outlook, that used to exist in YouTube. So back then, I was getting a lot of comments on my Amnesia the Dark Descent dubs. Some people saying, quote, your breathing is kind of hot. Have you ever considered voice acting for porn? Bear in mind, I was probably 15 or 16 back then when they were saying that. And I gotta say, looking back on it, it was quite funny when some of them messaged me saying, I know I was being mostly saying, quote, you know, I was being kind of jokish, but I'm curious. Have you actually ever considered, because I think you'd do a good job. I said, mate, fuck off. I'm 15. And they don't message me back. But at some point, I believe I created... I already had a Deviant account by then, but I think I created a Furfinity account sometime when I was, I think I was just 17? I don't remember. In fact, does Furfinity even tell me when I created my account? Okay, yes. Here we go. Registered September 13th, 2010. I can't be bothered to do the math, so I don't know how old I would have been. Okay. I'm currently 30 years old. You do the math. I can't be bothered. But at one point, not long after 18, I... how did this start? I think it was purely coincidence, but not long after I turned 18. And... I can't remember well. But at some point, a person by the name of... Zoop, was it? Yeah, Zoop. And I believe at the time his avatar was just a Charmeleon with love hearts. Asked me in a public shout that if I would be interested in voicing a lewd Pokemon animation, because this was his attempt at trying out using original voice acting instead of stock voice acting, which is all that people used back then. Back then, it wasn't common for people to literally just get a bunch of voice actors or actresses. And so he wanted to break the mold. Since it was in a public comment, everyone saw it. And so, again, there was still a messaging system on YouTube and whatnot. I was getting spammed by notes on all different accounts from people that were actually just stalking me at this point, saying basically, do it, do it. I saw what he offered. Don't pass up on this. And at the time, what was my girlfriend at the time, also encouraged me to try it out. So I eventually gave in and did my first voice acting in a lewd animation. I mainly did it just out of anger, just so I could shove it in their faces and say, there, been there, done it, didn't work out, f*** off. But I was not ready for the amount of positive feedback I got from it. It took a while for me to actually get used to it. But there was even this one person, this was back when I used to use Skype, that I had to put up with. He was someone who despises or likes talking shit at furries. And he's just that guy that will swear an insult from here to there very casually. And I had to put up with him because he was a friend of a friend of mine. But when he found out that I had done that, that I had voiced in this animation, I was expecting him to just berate me even further. But he pretty much just said, quote, you have guts, mate. I actually respect you now. You are a degenerate, but that takes guts. I thought he was just pulling my leg. But ever since that, he stopped talking shit at me. He was being genuine. And when I asked him, he said, I wasn't lying. That takes guts. And you did it. And I said, I don't understand you anymore. And so that's how I eventually started voicing in the lewd stuff. It was originally planted in my mind since I started voicing, dubbing over Amnesia the Dark Descent. Daniel from Amnesia the Dark Descent. And because of the breathing and panting, that's what gave him the idea. And then as that sat in my mind as I got older, and then was finally old enough to do this stuff, and it was presented to me, I didn't want to. I felt sick internally just thinking about it, but I was also curious, and I also wanted them to stop messaging me. So I went through it and was not prepared for it to turn out so positive. And then eventually I started getting used to it, voicing. I especially had to get used to the idea of friends confessing that they don't know how to feel talking to me now that they realize that they had enjoyed the animations and realized it was their good friend that voiced it. But eventually I just started laughing at that. So that was step one of me getting used to that. So eventually I did get used to it, but most importantly, I started laughing at the idea that I was unintentionally making my friends feel uncomfortable when they find out who did the sounds. Oh my god. But now it's gotten to the point where, for today, that either all of my friends know, or they don't say anything to me. But I know. I know when they talk about it. Ugh.
Oh my god.
And I don't know how long I did this, but I was doing it for so long just for free. And then eventually at some point, not too long ago, like probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't have the confidence to charge, but I was being pressured into doing it because it's healthy for me and only right for me to get compensated for my hard work. Absolutely. And also, yeah. And also I've been told it also damages the reputation of other voice actors in general, because why would they pay them if you're free and just, yeah. It's how certain animators, I won't mention the names right now, but you know exactly who I'm probably talking about, exploits that kind of market, that free market. Let's just say that it's a certain green lizard that is not really a really controversial figure in the furry community. That's all I'm going to say.
I know exactly.
I know because, yeah, and I've voiced for that guy, not with, for. I'd say with because then I'd be getting paid and I'd be working with them. But no, for. I'm just doing it for them, for free. They don't pay me. They rarely even credit me. Eventually, it reached to the point that I actually just stopped doing stuff for this guy, and I'm pretty sure this person didn't even realize I left, or cares. The feeling is mutual at this point. But to go from that to voicing for someone like Omega Ozone, who is not only a very open person, just like if you've got ideas or you want to talk about some things or ideas, not only will he listen, I could tell that he's considering and really is interested in my thoughts. When he was making this game called Dungeon Tale, a point-and-click erotic novel game, it was a lot of fun. Because one of the things that I, when we were talking some ideas on game mechanics, game took a lot of notes from the Zelda series, how characters make an audible sound when they're speaking, but the text reflects further, goes into detail. And I like the reason why he did this, because that certain someone who was making a certain game that I was supposed to voice for, but didn't end up getting a voice for, they were supposed to get a bunch of voice actors reading all of these lines from start to finish, but they were also going to be paying for them because there was no way around it. But after just a few muck-ups with some actors, they just dropped the whole thing and just went silent. And some of the people that were promised they would get paid and compensated didn't even get paid and compensated. Okay, this is when I left them, because I was one of them. But seeing how that turned into a disaster, I like how he was taking a creative and cautious approach. Not too many voice lines, and this allowed him freedom to change the script or add more with existing lines. It also adds to the charm. So, when we're talking about how we could further have fun with this, I then mentioned, you know how you can name Vincent? Like how you can name Link. He has a canon name, but you can give him whatever name he is. Because it could be that could be his actual name, but Link is the title that he inherits. So the same was basically with Vincent. He has a canon name, but you can name him anything. Then I thought, you know how people like to give some stupid, silly names to Link, just so that it sounds funny, and like My Butt? They name it My Butt, so that when, say, someone says, oh, hi, My Butt! So, I thought of an idea, and he loved it, that what if he puts a little list here of some names where he will react to, and some names he will outright say no to. For example, if you name him, if you try to name him the first or last name of a certain infamous German dictator, he will just look at you and say, nine. And then the name just gets removed and you got to type again. Stuff like that. I haven't been able to do anything like that since the person that person that I worked for. To go from that to someone who is very openly happy to work with you and even brainstorm with you, it just felt like I was more personally involved, to the point that I pretty much can call him a friend. And that's something I admittedly seek when it comes to voice acting. Part of me does want to be a part of this, but at the same time, I also want to be a part of these guys. It might be a bit of a professional thing where they just keep things neutral, do the job, move on. I can understand that, and I will respect that. But there is a part of me that really just wants to make more friends and hang with them. Like, imagine if you did voiced for something like a James Bond movie, and you got together with the whole cast, not in an official setting or anything. You just all got together at a pub or a restaurant to chill and eat, or even a park, and you're just reminiscing on how much fun it was, or what was the line that you hated doing, or what was this one director that was really giving you a hard time, or what was the funniest slip up you made that actually made it into the end product. Like, you've probably seen those top 10 videos of when of movie mistakes that made it in, and usually it tends to be something like a lot of people like to talk about some of the recent stuff, like how Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy fumbled the orb. That was actually a mistake. He accidentally dropped it and then picked it back up. And the director actually loved that. They made it a part of it because, ironically, it was true to his character. He acts cool, but he can just mess up and then try to retain his composure. That stuff like that, is definitely a lot of stuff that is just like I can imagine actors having fun talking about. Like how I love talking about a lot of the ad-lib lines that I've done in some of these animations I've voiced for, and how they've made it in, added more personality, or they've encouraged me to just do this more. And I get that a lot with Omega Ozone and other artists like Zunk Punch for Romantic, and more other artists like that too. Beckon even? The Grove Dev? And so from there on, I eventually got confident enough to the point of creating a list about my rates. At the moment, though, I still feel like I need to adjust them more, but so far, I felt like I've been paid very well, and it's just allowed me to go through these more naturally, and yeah, I'm now officially making money from my hobby.
Which is awesome. Which is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, there is still one thing that I have neglected to do for things like Deep Rock Galactic and just my art in general. When I'm not voice acting, I do SFM art and stuff like that. But the thing is, I don't have a donation box of any kind, mainly because I don't trust some of these other sites like PayPal, where it's then warned. I hear these things where like they can leak or reveal or show your email address, and I've been told that doesn't happen on Ko-fi. But I don't know if that's true yet. I still need to research that. But if that's true, I might finally start setting up a Ko-fi, because I still, to this day, get comments on my Dwarf to Cobalt voice pack about, do you have a donation box? Because if so, where can I find it? I want to donate to you for your hard work on this. That really melts my heart. But then also makes me angry at myself, because I realize it's also mostly a form of laziness. I haven't bothered to set up a donation box to get money on this stuff.
Do it.
Also, obviously. Isn't it funny how I segued from the lewd voice acting that I just finished, and which might not even be in this video. It depends on if I was able to describe this good enough or if it's too much. It's up to but anyway, that's past me talking to anyway. But that is, in a nutshell, how I ended up where I am right now. I guess you could say, actually, aside from my love of kobolds, aside from wanting to voice in a video game, and aside from just loving Deep Rock Galactic, it was also admittedly my need to do voice acting outside of just making audible sounds. Because that was a majority of stuff I only got when it came to voicing for the erotic section of the furry community. Though, coincidentally, after I've done this, I'm actually getting more dialogue stuff for in the erotic section. And so I'm finally getting the chance to show, hey, you artists that do this stuff, I can also speak. I can also act. I mean, I could act the sounds, but I can also voice act. And it's also thanks to artists like Omega Ozone for his latest animation that I also got heavily involved with. There was this series called Raccoon Mama Maya. It's literally of a raccoon woman named Maya. It's a series. I won't get into further details because you can probably figure it out for yourself. But the latest episode was Double Trouble. And for this one, this episode is actually a result of me. It was an idea I pitched to Omega Ozone after watching the series, of an idea of this one character that is the first character of the series that is completely oblivious of the main character's reputation. And he loved that idea. This one character that is so focused on what they're doing that they had no idea about this that everyone else in the entire area knows about. And so that character I ended up being the voice actor for. And not only that, I ended up becoming the designer for, because he asked me, what species could this character be? How about, and he said, wait, before you answer that, how about, could we make him a native Australian animal to reflect you? And I say, well, yeah, kind of, but I don't really have that much of an accent. He says, too bad. I think that's a good idea that we should go for. Just bear with me and think, what Australian animal would you pick? And eventually, I had avians on the mind, so I thought, okay, avian indefinitely. Oh, I know. Cockatiel. Because my big brother has a bunch of them, so I kind of like the cockatiels. I'm a bit of a sucker for them. But I'm also a big sucker for magpies, so if it wasn't going to be the cockatiels, I definitely would have picked magpies. But Charlie, name and design, is pretty much because of me. So this was the most involved I've ever been in any of these. And so this particular animation holds a special place in my heart. And it's funny. I wrote half of his dialogue, but I ad-libbed most of it. I wrote my own dialogue, and I didn't even follow most of it. And he loved it. And it's rare that you get these animations that are meant to lead to a spicy scene, but actually have a build-up. And especially if a build-up of just these characters that aren't even going to be involved, just talking like normal. And so when there was just this interaction between Charlie and Zach, who is an otter, we followed the script together and then did some ad-libs at our own. And then we just eventually got together in a call and just had a regular conversation back and forth, saw how we did it, and then just listened back on it and tried to rewrite the lines that way. We did all this behind Omega Ozone's back. And so we created because of this one scene, we made their conversation very, very believable. And so I look back on this very fondly, because not only was it one of the few erotic animations where I got to speak, but it also was where I got heavily involved in just the normal chit chatter before the spice. And I love how a lot of people in the comments section are pointing out how they were not expecting a very genuine conversation between these two, how their interactions back and forth with each other sounded so genuine and natural. It's because it kind of was. We were having so much fun while we were waiting for Omega Ozone to get back that we decided to take the time off to just flesh out the characters more. And yeah, and as a result, I enjoy most of the beginning of the animation more than when the spice takes off. And it's been one heck of a trip. So it's just funny how that after I've done the dialogue for this mod, this Cobalt mod, that all of a sudden I'm now finally getting more actual dialogue in the erotic zone where I mostly voice act these days. Coincidence? I think not!
And I think with that, I think we should start wrapping this up, because I know for a fact it is quite late where you are right now, and just have to...
I will say, were you expecting... I wasn't expecting. I thought this was going to be a lot of awkward silence and me waiting for the next question, but...
No?
I even surprised myself just how much I just went into this and just... How many topics did I go through, and how many of them were initiated by you?
You initiated most of the content. I kind of just sort of set you off and just watched you go. Really?
I hope I didn't go too overboard, or hopefully this is exactly what you wanted.
That's absolutely fine for me, but I'm just going to say it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here, to hear someone so joyous and passionate about what they do. And I just hope you get more and more in the future. And I kind of hope that if the developers of Deep Rock Galactic ever make a sequel, that they put kobolds in as a playable class, because they really should, because it just fits so well in the universe. And I hope that
I don't
you
think
can
they
make
should
that
make a sequel. I think instead they should just make a new game. Maybe it could be set in the DRG universe, but just set elsewhere. Hell, maybe it would be about the kobolds, or maybe it would be just a different game entirely. Let's not try to pressure the devs into being a one-trick pony. I mean, should I remind you how the devs of Evil Within and Evil Within 2 are also the people that then suddenly gave us Hi-Fi Rush? They went from psychological horror, very gruesome psychological horror game, to suddenly a laid-back, chilled, rhythm-based fighting game with such a quirky, cute personality.
It is
that's
quite
what
a
happens
shift,
when
yeah.
you. Yeah, that's what happens when you let the devs that want to break out of the box break out of the box. And before we do wrap this up, are you sure there's no other specific questions you feel like you should ask?
You've kind of done it all. You've kind of just hit on all the sort of ebbs that I was aiming for you to cover. You got it all by yourself.
Thank you all for being here. Again, if you like what I'm doing, please consider liking and subscribing so I can continue to make more in the future. This is Kraken, signing out.